Liberty in America is under assault. We no longer live in a reality that includes property rights. We're no longer the kings of our own castle. We no longer enjoy the true benefits of capitalism. Instead, we're negotiating our rights with our own government. This isn't how our country was founded. These aren't the ideas of our founders. It's time to seize back our country. This is the Liberty Hour, where these important issues will be discussed for the sake of America's future. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Constitution in the other, here's your host,
Charles Love.
That's why I love that guy. Hello and welcome to the Liberty Hour. I am hearing an echo in my ear. This is one of those days. I got locked out of the building when I came here today, too. But
that should be better. How's that?
That is so much better. Thank you.
If I hit all the buttons I'm supposed to, this works better.
Oh, you missed a couple buttons. That's all right.
Just one.
Just one.
The one that puts the echo in your ear.
Right. In that intro, part of it says, you're no longer king of your own castle. I guess we're no longer king of our own kids anymore either. Like he said, I am Charles Love. I am sitting in for Sean Thompson all the way through November. So keep coming back, keep listening, and hope I got some good stuff for you. I want to open talking about the schools. And as you probably know, the Chicago Public Schools decided to go fully remote to start the school year. And I want to throw the number out there now, 312-642-5600. Give me a call and let me know what you think about that. If you think that was a good decision, kind of explain why. And if you don't, tell me what the problems you have with that. Or if you have kids in CPS, what are you going to do now? It's got to change your plans. I don't want to say I told you so. I could, but I won't say I told you so, because I've been yelling about the schools for 3 weeks or so, writing about it, social media, did a nationally syndicated radio show for 5 days, 4 days last week, I think it was, and talked about it there. But unfortunately, no one listens to me, so I had no influence. But I assumed that this was going to happen, although many parents, on the other hand, may be surprised, since they had been having this promise of caring about what the parents say, and they were pushing strongly for hybrid, you know, a couple of days in school, and that was probably the way it was leaning. Everybody knew it was going to be 2 to 3 days, most likely 2 days, possibly 1 day, but that was going to happen. And then at the last minute, they decided not to. And from the Sun-Times, it says that CPS students will start the new school year at home for at least the next month. Actually, it's going all the way through November 5th. But it said the decision to keep kids at home is an abrupt about face from city officials who have faced heavy pressure from teachers and parents to go fully remote. I think the parents were probably pressuring them to not go remote, too, though. And the switch was spearheaded by Mayor Lightfoot's office. Also came mere hours after the city health commissioner said she was in favor of putting kids in school with proper health protocols. So that's where we are. So I know we talked about it briefly last week, and Macbeth said that he had a kid in public school.
Yep.
Right? So what do you think about the 100% remote?
Well, they did the same thing with us. They didn't do the bait and switch. They just came out and they said, here's your questionnaire, here's your survey. I think the vast majority of people either said in person or hybrid. I said hybrid because that was the most pragmatic option.
Right.
I think that was a good way to try to get kids back into the school. And they just went, they said, you know what, we're going to start with remote learning and reevaluate, I think, October. I don't know.
Right. And I understand the caution, but it's bad. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts involved in this, so it's bad to go to the parents and say, we want to hear what you think. You know, it's like when the politician goes to the vote, we're going to put a referendum on the ballot.
Yeah,
and
we want
the people say
that this is not
90% of the people, and then they say, no, we're not doing that. We just asked you what you wanted. We didn't say you were going to get it. So,
very much like filling in a little card when you leave a hotel. Mm-hmm. You know that at the end of the shift, that just whoever cleans up the rooms just takes that
cleans
box
up the
and
cards.
Dumps it in the garbage with the rest of the housekeeping garbage.
Mm-hmm. So, how long ago did they tell you about the decision to go fully remote?
It was pretty late. I think it was the 27th.
Oh, okay.
So just 27th to the 28th. But they didn't, like I said, they didn't bait and switch us. So that was good that they at least said, okay, this is the decision. We're sticking with this.
So with yourself and others that you talk to, what are the plans? What are they saying they're going to do?
For the moment, I think a lot of people are benefiting from the idea that they can still work from home. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Right.
We're lucky enough to have my mother-in-law living with us. Quote, air quote, lucky. And but yeah, she's available if both of us have to be out of the house during the day.
Gotcha.
She can at least be there to keep them alive. But I don't think that's going to help us with keeping the kid on track for school.
Right. Because and that's the other thing too. Those people who are thinking that have a false sense of hope too, right?
Oh yeah.
Because you're like, well, at least, I mean, granted, you are more fortunate than those who can't work from home. Don't
for sure.
think I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But if you're actually working, at some point, these companies that have you working from home, they give you a little leeway because there's a lot going on. They get it. But at some point, if your boss was a jerk before, he's going to go back to being a jerk, right?
Yeah.
So at some point, he's going to say, I'm going to need you to work. So if that's even if you're in a two-parent household, but if you're in a two-parent household and you both work, but you're working from home, but you both work 9 to 5, so you're both at work when the kid's supposed to be doing his work, his schoolwork, and working remotely in class.
At least you have
class.
Two incomes, you got a hope of being able to afford health care, or not health care, child care.
Well, I'm going to get to that in our next segment. But but let's just walk this out. But,
no!
but even with the health the care, are they teaching? Who's making sure? And I guess if you do bring somebody in, they can make sure that. But I don't know. I'm thinking that through. I don't know. If you have a two-income household, doesn't mean that you're both making enough money that you can just bring somebody in every day.
No, not at all, but at least you have a better chance than if you're a single mother or a single father.
Oh, without a doubt. But what I'm saying is, because I know I work from home, and my wife works from home, and I know we're working from home, we don't have time to monitor homework.
No.
Or to train you. Because think about it. If you work from home, all you people out there working from home, tell me if this is true. You might be at work and when you were in the office and having that weekly Tuesday meeting and one or two meetings when things come up. When you're working from home, you're meeting all day, right? It's like that's all you do. You're on a call, you're on another call, then another call. So you're always on a call. You don't have time to say, check my homework, let alone teach me, help me learn this. And I don't understand why if you're going to do remote learning, I get it in the spring because it was last minute, you didn't have time, but you have since then to figure this out.
Right.
Why aren't the teachers, because they don't want to get the kids sick and they don't want the kids to get them sick. Right, whatever. But I'll give them that. But the kids aren't going to school. So why aren't you taking your butt in the classroom
and teaching
the class remotely from the front of the class?
Some of them are, but we'll see what happens this fall here. You know, some of them did.
I need all of them.
Well, yes, I
agree. Go to work, get in your class, turn on your computer.
You know, because when you got back from Target and getting your nails done and getting your eyebrows plucked, and then you decided it was too dangerous to go to work and be around some kids, you know, okay, then that's part of your job. So what part of your pay are you willing to sacrifice to be able to stay home? Because this is the real world, after all. We like to pretend it's not, but it is.
Well, I don't think I think you owe teachers an apology because I find it hard to believe. No, but I find it hard to believe that any teacher has done any of those things that you mentioned, because if they were doing that and going out the house and going to places, they'd be a little less concerned about going to school.
I haven't seen them, to be fair. If you've seen them, you may be able to tell that they haven't had their eyebrows plucked or had their nails done.
That's why they don't want to go into class.
Or their hair done. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But
Going on vacation or going to the beach until they close.
Normal traffic levels. The shopping centers are at normal traffic levels.
Somebody's out there.
Somebody is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. So obviously I'm in New York. And I hope I got a couple people listening from New York, maybe. And if so, don't get too excited thinking you got to win. So de Blasio had been doing the same thing in Chicago, right? He's been pushing the hybrid model, right? And Cuomo just said, based on the numbers, based on the science, I'm going to be right down the middle, really clear and professional and do the job right. I want those schools open, all that kind of thing, right? So a couple of days ago, I thought he was going to backpedal because he said, maybe we should listen to what the teachers say. I'm like, uh-oh. But now I'm going to so on Friday, the same day as Chicago, he announced the schools, based on this infection rate, the schools can fully open. And I was like, oh, he stuck with it. But I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but I actually think because de Blasio is the mayor with no pants and he can't be elected again, I think that Cuomo and he have some kind of devil's bargain. And so he makes himself look normal, but then he goes to whisper to de Blasio and say, go ahead and close the schools anyway, but then I'll look good. Because so I'm telling New Yorkers, don't get your hopes up thinking your schools are going to be open every day. Definitely not going to happen, and maybe still not hybrid. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what parents are going to do about this and what hear your thoughts on what you want to do and what you think of the CPS's decision at 312-642-5600. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
This is the Liberty Hour. Here's your host, Sean Thompson, on AM 560, The Answer.
Everybody knows that the days are loaded. Everybody.
Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. Charles Love here. Talking about schools. Talking about school from home. Because that's where the kids will be. 312-642-5600. Give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts are. How you are planning on navigating the teacherless school year coming up, at least through November, which probably will get pushed at least through Thanksgiving, which will probably get pushed to at least Christmas. Let's go to Jim from South Elgin, who wants to talk about the teachers' union. Jim, welcome.
Yes, sir. How you doing? You know, these teachers' union demands are the line has nothing.
They're totally plausible. I've seen them. They make perfect sense to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like communism. Yeah, both of these guys. So anyways, I think we all have to sit there and say, oh, we want a refund on our tax money. This is another reason why we should have vouchers. I have a daughter who's going to be supposed to start kindergarten this year. You know, she's 5 and a half. I'm going to keep her out of school. She's smarter than whip right now. I'm going to keep her out of these schools. It's ridiculous. But aside from that, you know, all this money being spent and all this infrastructure stuff, guess what? We don't need it. Let's cut these things out. Let's get our money back, and let's save money. And also, I want to make another comment. The alderman for the second ward of Chicago made some comments about Michigan having the Magnificent Mile possibly not reopening because of all the destruction. Hey, guys, estoy hablando. Hey, estoy hablando. Because of all the destruction that's gone on and all the poor business for all these department stores. And that's a big concern. So this is what happens in democratically controlled areas.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go to Terry on line one, who wants to talk about teachers being essential.
Pretty sure Jim is running an orphanage there.
Well, no, that's the school. That's going to be what's coming up after this next call.
Oh,
right.
No. Poor Jim.
Terry. Okay. Why is it okay for essential workers to risk their lives working, but teachers don't have to? And I think their salaries should be cut off.
You know, you know what? I'm gonna give this one, toss this one to Macbeth, because I think he mentioned it before. He has an answer. Why Macbeth? Why?
Well, I mean, you know, the teachers' unions have local politicians by the cojones.
Because the grocery store clerks don't have a union?
Grocery store clerks might have unions, small
unions.
They do,
they're going to be weak unions like
you. But they're not public sector unions that can donate money directly to people who make policy decisions that affect them.
Yeah.
They don't have the clout or the means of saying, you know, if you shut down a grocery store, okay, where's the nearest grocery store? 10 blocks away. Okay, I'm driving 10 blocks. If you shut down a public school,
you're not
what?
Even allowed to go to the next school.
Right. Right.
In a lot of places,
it's even illegal to build a school that competes with the public school. So,
oh, my God. You can stop right there because you just lobbed me a ball on my next topic. So I'm talking about this being closed and what are the kids going to do? What are you going to do with your kids? And parents are scrambling. And some people are resourceful and they come up with ideas, but big-footed government's got a problem and they have a way to get in the way of that too. Like, you might want to send them to Jim's house. But I was reading an article the other day before these two cities made their decisions, and the article was about pandemic pods. Have you heard about these? They're pandemic pods. Others, that's just a cool hip name. Some people call them micro schools. And it's just common sense. It's, you know, what people would do. So what they're doing is school's closed. We don't know what to do. So a bunch of parents, usually upper middle class and wealthy parents, get with other parents like, look, look, I got to work. I got to work too. So how about we hire a teacher, pay them well too, pay them, you know, $40 an hour. It doesn't matter because we're going to put our six kids together in the backyard and pay that teacher to come over and teach our kids. So teach class, babysit in person, come to the backyard. We go work. We'll put out some snacks. It's like school, but in the backyard. And we rotate so the parents can have free with no kids. It's just like dropping them off at school, except you drop them off at Becky's house. You know, and maybe Becky takes a hit and does it all the time, or maybe they rotate. Right? People are going to come up with plans. Well, in some places, they are already trying to ban it, you know, because that's what the governments do. How dare you take care of your kids? There was a guy, a millionaire in Silicon Valley, who put out a Twitter post saying that he's looking for teachers to teach four or five kids in his backyard, and, you know, I will pay them top dollar. And if you recommend a teacher, I'll give you $2,000. So he got shamed on Twitter. How dare you take care of your kids? It's silliness. So we talk about what's next. They're going to try to stop people from doing that. They were doing it in California, and they haven't tried to stop them yet, but people are petitioning the governor because you may remember this. It was national news for a while. Sometime in the middle of last year, they were pushing to make Uber drivers and all the gig workers employees instead of independent contractors. Remember that? So they were pushing for that, but it was supposed to be for everybody, healthcare workers, home healthcare workers, anybody who you bring in, that's the law. The law passed. January it kicked in. And now, of course, no one knew about COVID. So now all these parents who are trying to do pandemic pods or micro schools are hit with this new law because there are no exemptions that says if you hire that teacher, you have to payroll them. Take out taxes, fill out the paperwork, the whole nine. So here again, the government's going to get in the way of you trying to babysit or, you know, bring in somebody to supplement your time. You mentioned to me, well, at least if you got two parents at home, you can do this, or maybe you can bring in care. No, not in California. You got to create a business or nonprofit before you do that, before you teach your kids, because your teacher won't teach your kids. And what are they going to do? Even if they're in the classroom, Terry made a good point, too, about, and Jim mentioned the salaries as well. My concern is maybe they'll get better at it, but if it's anything like the spring, my kid had remote learning. It was a 15-minute morning meeting and then 15 to 20 minutes in the afternoon. Is that school? Now, granted, as they get older, they'll do a little more, but what was it? Was your school remote in the spring, Macbeth?
Say that again?
Did your kid go to school remotely for the rest of this past year, at the end of the year?
Yeah, they did pretty much from the middle of March on. They kept saying they were going to reevaluate, never really did. Heard a lot of horror stories as far as them not really being able to keep track of attendance and that, but, you know, she managed. How long did they do it?
Like, how long were they online?
Yeah, they were doing mostly Zoom calls, man.
But, like, what, three hours?
No, if.
See, that's what I'm saying. Unless they tweak this, even if they go to work and they do that, you're still ripping us off because you're in school for 7 hours and you're doing this Zoom thing for like 45 minutes and then you go into the market and to get your, well, I didn't say this, Macbeth said this, then you're going to get your eyebrows done, you're going to Target, you're going on vacation and stuff, but you're going to get your full salary. This is an interesting one. Let's go to Greg on line one. He wants to talk about some other things I talked about last week, the things these kids will miss out on by not being in school.
Yeah.
Greg, welcome to the Liberty Hour.
I think the biggest thing, I understand the teachers and the unions and all that stuff, and this is, the kids are being held as political pawns and all of this stuff, but one of the things that I learned as a kid when I grew up, because I grew up just outside of Chicago, Cicero, you know, places like that, very closed. We didn't go to school with African Americans or blacks or Hispanics right off the bat.
Whatever you people are calling these days. No, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I think the thing is, you know, when you I threw around the D word, the diversity word, it's an overused word, but when people mingle, barriers come down because people realize that they're people. They realize that there's differences. People look different. People have glasses. People have different colors, but they're all people. And this is the problem. Macbeth brought up a great point. It's segregation. You're segregating people again, and it's just not right. And the kids are the ones that are getting hurt. And it goes above and beyond all of that to the politics of this, where kids are being developmentally stunted because they just don't experience the human experience with other kids. And that's how you grow as a society, when you have people that work together, that grow together, that experience together. And that's the long-term damage here, Charles. And that's what I really despise.
Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate that. You're right. That and, of course, isolation for some people. Some people are just going to be depressed. You don't know when. You don't know how many. But it's pretty much a guarantee that it's going to happen for some. Did we lose EJ?
Yeah, EJ was making a comment, but he was making a comment about guns and that. So I told him if we brought it up, I would make sure that his comment.
Oh, I don't know if we got a packed show. I don't know if we're going to get to guns. But,
I don't know if we should be mixing guns and schools.
Well, there are no schools, so I guess guns are okay.
Well, there we go.
Bring the guns back in because we don't have schools.
Hey, now we're talking.
Well,
what about fireworks?
Know, I guess.
Can we have M80s again?
Well,
the
I guess we'll have to
there.
Figure out what's going to happen. We'll take a wait and see mode, and we will definitely find out what is going on with that. Greg made a good point about diversity of workers. And coming up, we're going to talk about executive orders and what Trump is doing to, you know, become a dictator. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
Show some respect.
Now, back to the Liberty Hour. Call Sean now at 312-642-5600.
Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. You can call Sean, but he ain't answering. Charles Love here sitting in. I want to change topic briefly, but first, I got a question for you, Macbeth. Have you seen the South Park movie?
Yeah, the bigger, what was it, bigger, longer,
yeah.
Uncut from years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, dumb question. Of course you did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was in that age range
yeah,
at that
you,
point.
You were in that movie. But look, I asked.
I was not in that movie.
Why did you have,
I was a
why
fat
did you
kid.
Have to be Carmen?
Because I was a fat kid and as a jerk.
So
yeah, it fits.
I got a story here that makes me think of that movie, and I want to know if you figure out why, I know you will, and what part it makes me think of.
Are we bombing the Baldwins?
So, Illinois District 65, part of Evanston and Skokie,
okay.
They're going remote. But if they do go back to school, they have decided that they're going to give priority to black and brown kids to go back first in the classroom because they're oppressed and, you know, there's systemic inequalities. So they're going to let them go back first. And I'm like, but if you close because the schools are dangerous,
is that reach of Tuskegee?
Why are you making them go? No, come on, South Park, where am I going?
Well, I know where you're going with it, but I mean, you just what? Okay, so the black
Operation
and brown kids.
Behind the darkies?
Right, but black and brown kids can be your test bed.
Yeah,
They can be your canaries in the coal mine.
No, it's because they're oppressed.
Oh,
It's because they're oppressed, right. So they get to go first.
But wait, isn't that an admission
to the
then?
School.
If you're making that point then, isn't that an admission that going back and being in school in person is much more beneficial than being...
No, just to the black and brown kids.
Oh, just
the
black
you're
and brown kids.
You're not listening.
Only
the school is unsafe unless you're black and brown.
Only
the
if
workers
you need
can
a,
go to the school.
Only if you need a field of human sort of volunteers to test something on... then it's beneficial to that person. It's legit. It sounds legit.
That's when I'm going to leave the school things.
Oh,
I'm just going to put that out there and leave that for the schools. The schools are dangerous. Everybody listen. The schools are dangerous. Kids should never be in them unless they're black and brown because we're helping them because they're oppressed. This is where we are today. And they teach your kids. So, executive order.
Yes.
So, Trump signed a couple 2-3 yesterday.
That was very Chicago.
And, you know, because I'm, you know, in New York, I'm trying to fool the people. I am in Chicago right now, waving at Macbeth. So he signed these executive orders, four of them, which we'll get to. And people were irate. And it wasn't just the left that were upset. Now, I looked at them. And I'm like, really, it's only one that they really have a major point of contention on. And so let's just go through them real quick. So he's got one where he is going to give those unemployed people that are currently getting $600 a $400 a week supplement. So a little less, but they'll get that.
To replace the $600.
They'll replace the $600. They'll get the $400 because Congress didn't come up with a solution, so he felt he had to act. So he wants to give them $400. which is not 600, but better than nothing what Congress has given them. Run that to December 6th. 25% paid by the state, 75% by the federal government. He said he's going to divert funds from FEMA, and he claims that the 25% is mostly coming from federal dollars the states have already gotten, so it's pretty much all federal. That's the biggest one people are complaining about. You have no right to make, you know, monetary decisions. The second was to assist renters and homeowners, which is kind of vague because it just says, like, identify funds. I don't know where he's going to identify them from. Just to help somehow, I don't know. And then encourage, with air quotes. But, you know, that was the second one.
Well, I know where they're going to find funds. It's the same place they've been finding funds to buy the economy, which is at the end of the printing press.
Yeah, we got to get to that, too. See, we talked
about finding this funds.
Awesome.
Magically finding funds in large sheets that then get cut up into
uncut.
Bills.
Yeah. It's like uncut. Oh, is it back to the world? Oh, anyway,
you gotta dry first, but yeah. We're
back
working.
To are you on drugs? No.
Yeah.
Are you a junkie? The third one is a payroll tax holiday through the end of the year, only for people making under $100,000. People complained about that. Biden had a weird response, too. He said something about it's just going to hurt the Social Security.
Yeah.
But he's not. But because he's not taking, you're not getting a holiday. You're getting a break. You still owe the money. You just don't have to pay it until next year.
Right.
So it still goes back, but whatever. So they complained about that a little bit. And then student loan relief, which was already there, he's just extended it.
Yeah, I think most people are probably not going to get their knickers in a bunch for student loan relief. I think most people look at that and go, okay, well, this is sort of a predatory system.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the biggest one that they complain back about tends to be the first one.
Yeah.
Saying that it's unconstitutional. And then, you know, obviously those constitutional conservatives are saying, stop giving people money, stop printing people money, printing money is wrong, you know, we're losing our liberty, Sean's yelling and smoking a cigar.
Well, yeah, because executive order used to be a bad word.
But wait, here's the thing, though. To all of those people, left and right, I say you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. You are absolutely right. Well, I'm always honest. I'll be right. You're right. Right? So that is true. He does not have the powers to do it. And especially the first one, and they are right to be upset about it.
I could see him extending what already exists, but how do you change an amount?
Right, right.
And there's nothing appropriated for that. So now you have to, like you said, he's taking money from FEMA. This isn't going to end well.
But when we get back, I'm going to explain what I always talk about is context and logic, and it's lost on a lot of people. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, not Sean Thompson, The Answer.
You're listening to The Liberty Hour with Sean Thompson. Get on the line with Sean by calling 312-642-5600.
They're not getting what Sean, are they?
Back. Yeah, what did you say about Sean?
They're not getting Sean, are they, if they call?
They are. Well, how do they call that number?
They're going to get me.
Right.
That much
right.
is the same.
Welcome back to The Liberty Hour. Charles Love sitting in. Holding down said fort. Before the break, we were talking about executive orders. Trump is in trouble. Nancy Pelosi called it unconstitutional slop.
Wait. That means Nancy Pelosi has read the Constitution.
Come on, stop it.
I'm not
stop
buying it.
No, it didn't. It means somebody told her it was unconstitutional.
That's what I'm saying.
She got people for that.
Well, you know, you see with the reclaiming my time thing. All they have to do is issue the talking point. They all stop it up. They all repeat it. So, yeah, maybe it came from her. Maybe it didn't.
And see, this is where the problem leads. Before the break, I was talking about what I tried to push on a regular basis, context and logic. And I agreed with the people.
Good luck.
I tried to push it. I didn't say anybody's
taking
it.
I know.
I serve it. I slice it up. I put a nice glaze on top. And, you know, garnish it. Now, I can't make you eat it, but I'm going to give it to you. And in that, I agreed with those detractors of Trump saying that it was unconstitutional, the $400 a week, especially, that executive order. But what a problem is here, and a problem is within the country and with most people, kind of ties to what John talks about liberty, right? I say the issue is he talks about losing. And I say, well, people need to understand things. They won't even know what they're fighting for. They won't even know what they lost. So education is important here and context. So you complain about his executive order. I think the majority of the people don't understand what it does, what's constitutional, what's not constitutional, and they don't know what the precedent is between with other presidents, which I'm going to give them in a minute. And some of them know, but they're so partisan, they don't care. I don't like the guy. Yeah. And I mentioned that. I said the problem is people like last week I talked about when it's your guy. It's prophetic. Didn't I say something last week about we've been ceding?
You did, and we didn't know this was coming.
No, but you've been ceding power. You're like, well, I like Obama. Why can't he just create whatever laws he wants?
Well, and that's why consistency is actually important. And I know that's a shocker.
You need to be able to say no to your guy, too.
Yes, yes.
And they're both bad at it. The Republicans are technically more likely to do it than Democrats.
Yeah.
So I want to run off a couple because I know these 4 or 5 minutes are going to go fast. But I tried to pick the ones that people would know. I should probably do FDR last because he was president so long. He was the master of doing stuff he didn't have the ability to do. But I love to start. Why not just start with the big one? Can I start with the big one?
Go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order.
You lie!
Do you like slaves? Because that was unconstitutional.
Technically.
Right? But you'll say, but slavery was abhorrent. It was. But we were going into a war. We were. So it was,
we were in the middle of the war, and the Emancipation Proclamation, what it did was
and it didn't free slaves, right?
It mustered people to fight the war.
Right.
It made it officially, this war is now officially about slavery, which it really kind of wasn't until then. It was, but it wasn't.
But let's tie into the next one of Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln suspended habeas corpus.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
And I'm not talking about witchcraft.
No.
I didn't say he stopped the hocus pocus.
Yeah, he didn't levitate a corpse. That's not what that means.
He says it's okay to arrest people without a warrant. Hold them. And here's the important
part.
Try
them in absentia.
Right, here's the important part. Exactly. Here's the important part. It was overturned as unconstitutional 5 years later. See, these two things, all these are going to tie to Trump and right at the end of this segment. Watch. Okay, wait for it. FDR, let's skip around and go to the Big Daddy last. Clinton, if you recall, recent times, he tried to forbid the federal government to enter into contracts with companies that were using strike breakers. They sued him. He just withdrew. He didn't even fight it to the end.
Well, sometimes they know.
All right. How about this one? Truman nationalized the steel industry.
Yeah. That's kind of a big one, and that didn't end well, if I remember.
right. He tried to offer them whatever. He told the employee, "Where are we paying you more money?"
Oh,
right?
And they wanted production quotas, right? Uh-huh. But what they ended up with was production limits.
Yep.
Oops.
So he also lost that one.
Yeah.
In court. After a while, getting to the point, bringing it home, and let's bring in the granddaddy of them all, FDR. Anybody ever heard? I think people have heard of this, at least the, what do you call it, with the thing with the World War II and the people and the American citizens. Oh, the internment camps?
No, no.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, executive order. How about this one? The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 said in order to print money, see, that's why I say Macbeth is reading my mind. In order to print money, you had to have a certain amount of gold in reserve. We didn't have enough gold. So what do you do, Macbeth? He signed an executive order to confiscate gold.
Well, yeah. They made it illegal to use gold coins as legal tender.
And then, of course, the Manhattan Project, the atomic bomb. He created his own department. The head of that department answered only to him.
And was military.
So here's my point. You can't have it both ways. Trump does some crazy things, but sometimes he's playing that 4D that people don't think he's playing. So you're going to say it's unconstitutional. Well, he's going to throw you say it's a pandemic. So these are unusual times. So I get unusual powers.
There's also an element of playing the game, right? Like you said, it gets turned over years later.
That's what I was going to say.
So if it's needed now and you don't care about it long term, you put it out there, you don't defend it. I mean, I guess.
Right.
Sort of like putting something out with an expiration. But.
And aren't we forgetting one other thing? This is one that's interesting because you got people who are unemployed and need money. They're getting $600 now is going to get cut off. So everybody's like, well, the Democrats are going to sue. I said, I'm not sure about that. I'm betting on no because what they have to do, listen to what they have to do. Think about a chess game. They have to sue. They didn't come up with a solution with the Republicans. They have to sue the president to say, we're suing you because you're giving the American people money. I don't think that plays over well. It would come out well for them. So when you think about it being unconstitutional, I agree with you, but you got to play the game and play the cards you're dealt. So coming up, we're gonna have I'm gonna have a strange defense for Biden. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM560 The Answer. Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. I am Charles Love, your host, sitting in through November. So I want to change direction a little bit here. I got something queued up, but before I get to it, I just sent you something, Macbeth. I don't know if you got it, but you'll like this. I can just start every segment with just a little, you know, sprinkling of crazy school stuff. So it's an NBC story. You know, the schools are going remote. And it says, pajamas ban for students learning from home draws mixed response. So basically, there's an Illinois.
That means somebody said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some of the teachers and the parents, but they're basically saying, you don't get to come to school. You're going to have to stay home from work and figure out what you're going to do with your kids. Shut up and remote learn, and you better put some slacks and a polo on.
I mean, can't they just do what the rest of us do and just put a shirt on?
Right.
And then
business at the top. Who knows what's going on?
Yeah,
I just thought that was interesting.
Keep the bottom out of frame.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Biden for a minute, and not necessarily in the way others have. So Biden got in trouble, made a comment, quickly apologized for it, and I guess you probably heard it, but let's just hear it for reference.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
Wow! So, here's one of those times, doesn't mean I'm right, but where I stand up from the crowd. I heard that, and I was like, huh, okay. And then I heard
Depending on how you look at it, he's not necessarily wrong.
But see, no, you're right. See, and I know it's political season. All the Republicans
jump on it.
I expected that. But then a lot of my friends who are really even-keeled like me jumped on it. I'm like, do you all think that's what he said? Because I looked at it. I said, I say that almost every day.
I think he's talking
and
about the way they vote.
I know what he's saying. No, you think he's talking about what?
I think he's talking about the way they vote.
Nope. Wrong. Well,
right?
I don't know for sure because he doesn't even know. Cause
maybe
never
he's
know.
Talking about people who purchase Goya.
Know what I think he's talking about? Let me just try this on. This is the way I took it anyway. And surprisingly, my wife almost never agrees with me. I played first. She's like, what do you think he's saying? She said the same thing that I said. What he said, and keep in mind, he said, with some notable exceptions, what he's saying is, and I always joke about this too, he's saying that black people in America, for the most part, you know, with notable exceptions, are, you know, ADOs, are black Americans, descendants of slaves who've been here their whole life for many generations. When we say Hispanic, you whites and you blacks act like they're the same, but to
them,
they just accept it. But really, I mean, I just accept it because that's what you Americans do. But really, I'm Venezuelan. I'm Cuban. I'm Mexican. I'm Spanish. That's what I think he meant.
Right. Actually,
and
culturally diverse.
Because I used to joke and say, if they would always say, I'm not one of those people, but if I was Japanese and people kept saying, you know, the Asians, I'm like, you know, there's a big difference.
He's not wrong about the diversity of Latinos, but I think he is wrong about the homogenousness of African-Americans, isn't he?
Well,
I mean, there's a lot
of
different people from a lot of different cultures.
But most of the black people took it, as blacks are a monolith from a voting standpoint. Not that they're not. 95% is 95%. But I don't think that's what he meant. I think he meant collectively they're the same. Outside of, you know, some Caribbeans and some Africans, most blacks, what percentage of the black community is that, right? Most of us are not from 27 different countries, right?
Right, but even within this country, there's a lot of different black cultures. I mean, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe
yeah,
I'm
but not
wrong.
The majority. The vast
maybe
majority.
Maybe I'm just
here.
Not racist enough.
Yeah, you're not. Well, I don't know. According to Robin DiAngelo, by popping out of your mom, you're a Klan member.
That wasn't my fault.
It doesn't matter. You need to fix it. Wow, this hour went fast. Well,
always
coming up next hour, I'm bringing back Patrick Brutus to talk to me about what's going on in Chicago and catch me up. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
But wait, there's more.
Now, back to the Liberty Hour Call Sean now at 312-642-5600.
Welcome to the second hour of the Liberty Hour. Charles Love sitting in. And now we have a guest on the line. Second week in a row, he's going to be my eyes and ears in Chicago. He is a frequent contributor to local media, an expert on community and economic development, two-time candidate for Congress. And you can find him on Facebook at Patrick Brutus, where he gives you the confessions of a frustrated Democrat. Patrick, welcome to the Liberty Hour.
Charles, glad to be back. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm a little fired up.
I see. You got it going tonight. That first hour was fire, brother.
Well, let's kick it up a notch. I got a few points, you know, because I need to catch up on Chicago, like I said. And what I think I want to do is I want to start, as I scroll through your stuff on Facebook, and start with something that you posted. And one of your kind of, look here, look at the shiny object kind of post. It says, all they have to do is say, I'm sorry. And I want to add a couple, but underneath you had a picture of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. And if you all don't know, they apologized, which is silly, they apologized for having their wedding at a plantation, and no, they did not get married this year.
Right. They've been married for a number of years. They are apologizing, Charles, for getting married. How silly is this? This is really going beyond the pale. And, you know, my concern is that people are going to fall for this and, you know, believe that they are hashtag just woke. And it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean,
so is Ellen going to get a pass because she's apologizing?
So Ellen would get the biggest pass of all passes. Because her show is big time. Everybody needs it. The left needs it. The operatives need it. The Democrats need it. The liberals need it. It's a big time show. And, you know, you don't mess with a certain demographic out there in Hollywood. And so,
you mean,
she's going to get the biggest pass ever. She's getting the biggest pass.
What about Biden? What about Biden? Will he get a pass for the comments? What do you think about? How did you take what he said as I ended the last hour with my very out of the box, no one else really agrees with me views of what he said? What's your take?
Well, his comments on, you know, juxtaposed.
Not the are you on cocaine one? Not the cocaine.
No. Yeah, no, that was also another Joe gaffe. Oh, it's just old Uncle Joe, no problem. But his gaffe on Hispanics and African Americans and the diversity that he tried to, you know, substantiate. Here's his final comment to clean it up, right? Because obviously we know that amongst African Americans we have a diverse range of thought, diverse range of, you know, subcultures, a diverse range of, you know, the way we think, eat, live, play, work, et cetera, right? So there's diversity even among African Americans. I think the takeaway from that is that we see that he absolutely characterizes us in the same box, same vote, same train of thought, and we're not that, right? But he wanted to highlight the diversity of the Hispanic Americans, and I think he actually meant to say, you know, there's Puerto Ricans, there's Cubans, there's Dominicans and Mexicans.
Ha,
and
so you agree with what I was saying? That's what I thought he meant to say. It's not what he said, but it's what he meant to say.
It's what he meant to say, but the problem with Joe is that he can't articulate what he means to say. And so can you imagine him dealing with foreign leaders? And that's another problem. But here's his final answer, where, you know, on Twitter he goes, my commitment to you is this. Now, to you is us, we the people, the black Americans in this country who vote.
Mm-hmm.
I will always listen. I will never stop fighting for the African-American community, and I will never stop fighting for a more equitable future. So here's what he did in that final tweet, right? He put a few tweets out there. The last one was this, and then he hit the key words that now we are all falling for, the banana in the tailpipe now. Equitable. That's the key word. Equitable, and I will never stop fighting. So I will never stop fighting for us and equitable. Those are the banana in the tailpipe phrases and references that now we are – geared into thinking means everything for us. And that is another trickery move on a great speechwriter's twist on apology. So, you know, Jim Clyburn will be the first person to fall for this comment. You know, Patrick Brutus will not.
Well, Mr. Brutus, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Why are we whispering, Charles?
Because I don't want anybody to hear this one. If Trump apologizes, will we forgive him?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, first of all,
he ain't apologizing.
Raise your hand if you've ever seen Donald J. Trump apologize for anything.
He almost accidentally did it once by mistake, and then he called himself, but never.
He never apologizes. And I think, you know, to a degree, you have to respect that about him, that he says what he says and he means what he says. Mm-hmm. And his unwillingness to, you know, go back and reverse history and make, you know, apologizing comments, I think is a good thing. But it's also a bad thing, obviously, because it does show that he doesn't have the ability to be contrite and, you know, show mm-hmm. empathy or sympathy to those who he may offend. Right. And so, you know, that's always a good characteristic to have. Like I tell my kids, hey, you know, I'll apologize whenever and however if I need to. So, you know, I want my kids to understand that they need to apologize when necessary because it shows that you're humble, right?
But you need a middle ground. We need Trump, people to stop apologizing for no reason. So we need Trump to apologize, people to apologize more than Trump, but less than Blake Lively. Got it.
Less than Blake Lively. How about the I take responsibility? All
for what I do.
Superstars right. apologize. Terrible. Yeah.
So I want to talk about Operation Legend. You know, I know the feds are coming in. The administration didn't want that, but they came to a negotiation that it's not going to be boots on the ground, which nobody ever thought it was. It was just, you know, a red herring.
Right.
But they're going to come in to kind of assist with this abysmal close rate on shootings and such. And I want to know what your thoughts are, what people think about it, how it's going, how the reception is in the community. But first, what is with this FBG dunk? Why is this? Is this like Jimmy Hoffa missing?
Well, you know, it's Tupac, Biggie, now the Duck Man. And, you know, this is a really big deal in Chicago right now because FBG Duck, who was murdered in the Gold Coast, right? And so that, I think, really makes the case noteworthy because Chicago police are out here tasting the joint, as it were, to solve this crime because, of course, crime cannot happen on the Gold Coast. You can't rattle the richest performing tax base in our shopping district here, and those people who reside, work, and play in that particular area need to know that crime will not be tolerated and will be immediately swept up. And
at least not in this neighborhood.
and not that neighborhood. And so, like, in that context, Charles, you have the racial component, right?
Take that to your backyard. What did Eddie Johnson say? We have it isolated. You think it's out of control. We got it isolated to a few key neighborhoods where it's okay. You go ahead and shoot over there.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead and shoot. Keep it on the south and west sides. But when crime creeps past Roosevelt, we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And so this is the case this week. And right now it's like a manhunt. They are turning over no stone. They are not. What's the phrase, Charles? Leaving no stone unturned. They are, you know, shakedowned, and they're doing all kinds of stuff to find the killers. And you know, I hope they find the killer. I really do. I hope they find the killer.
If nothing else, is one less killer on the street because there's a bunch of them.
You know,
hell, 74% of them are out there. I don't know.
And you know what? It's like let's pivot real quick to Operation Legend because Operation Legend, would this case be a federal gun charge case? And hopefully it will be because, you know, Operation Legend, in 18 days since it was announced, Charles, I did my homework. In 18 days, they've got 20 new federal gun cases charged. That is an average of 1.1 per day. At this rate, Charles, we're going to have 405 new federal gun cases charged in Chicago, which would be a big gold trophy for safety. You know,
right.
I think there's people
because
in Chicago
not only are
who
you,
love
yeah,
that.
I think you need to sit on that for a minute. Because if they do that, not only are you drastically increasing the close rate on the murders, mm-hmm. they're getting a federal charge, so they're not going to get that, you know, silly little Kim Fox.
They're not
going to
get the Cook County pass.
Yeah, they're not going to get there. Well, go talk to your friends for a couple of weeks, you know, share some commissary, and then go home. This is real time.
Right.
Big.
You know, Cook County seems to be a monopoly. Roll the dice, get out of jail, pay $200, and keep moving.
So
and,
how can people be against this?
I think, you know, I'm all supportive of Operation Legend, and I don't know how anyone would be against that or a lot of different things.
Oh,
that
we
FBI
know how. Wait, wait.
DOJ
we know how.
You ain't black.
Because Trump's sending them.
Thanks for that. Good shot there.
As much as I hate murder, I hate Trump more.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that was the whole pivot there. Like, you know, you're not going to come in here and tell us what to do. But now, you know, the mayor has agreed to have partnership. And so
that's nice.
A good
well,
thing.
Well, the news is coming up. If you stay with me, we can talk about this on the other side. Coming back
Let's
after the break, more Chicago, more Patrick Brutus. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
This is the Liberty Hour. Here's your host, Sean Thompson, on AM 560, The Answer.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded.
Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. Charles Love in for Sean Thompson. Talking to Patrick Brutus, the Confessions of a Frustrated Democrat on Facebook. Check him out. He gives you lots of information and interesting insight on things. We're talking about what's going on in Chicago. When we left before the break, we were talking about Operation Legend and what it aims to do and how it's working so far. Do you have anything else to add on that before we move on, Patrick?
I just think that Operation Legend so far is perhaps one of the greatest federal interventions in modern history in the last 10 years at least in regards to actually delivering on a mission from the executive branch. We are seeing gun cases be charged. We're seeing people go to jail, and we're hopefully never going to see them come back into our communities causing havoc, death, mayhem. And I think, you know, although we're still experiencing high volume of shootings and some killings, we're still on the road to getting to become at least a little bit safer. And so I thank the federal government for this program. And so I think hopefully people like me who think that way are also celebrating tonight. 20 cases, Charles, in 18 days.
Less than 3 weeks. That's big. You know, because, you know, we won't really know because I stick with common sense, but you don't really know for a fact when you don't catch people, right? It's almost like, you know, I'm one of those conservatives that don't like when conservatives talk about black-on-black crime. In the context of, you know, whatever else, whether that be race or mass shooting, whatever else they want to bring that up. Because it's definitely black crime. Common sense says it's probably black on black crime. But hell, if you're not catching the shooter, how do you know what the one side of the black is? We know the dead guy's black, but we don't know who the shooter is because we don't catch him. Well, in that same vein, though, I think common sense says, I have no way of proving it, that a lot of these shooters are guilty of more than one shooting.
Right.
So if that's the case, if Operation Legend does its job, we'll be getting more shooters. So you say there's 18 days and 20 cases? Maybe it's 18 days and 20 cases, but it's 34 shooters.
Yeah,
right?
It could be. I mean,
yeah, we don't know.
Right.
I think that maybe I know
details in regards to the data, right?
Right, because we hear that's the next thing. The segue is to the crime because, you know, we always, it's been 2 weeks, but we do our thing where we compare what's going on in New York and Chicago, and I got some numbers here.
Uh-oh.
And
here we go.
One of the things, though, as we segue here, is in New York we had a situation like that where it is so funny. It ties into all this noise and the shiny object and we're protesting and this is going on. But which is fine if there's a problem, but you're ignoring this other bigger thing. So there was, right before Trump signed his executive order, Cuomo did the same thing. He signed an executive order banning chokeholds in New York. And a couple days after it was in the news, a police officer was caught on video using a chokehold. So, of course, it got all kind of noise because it just got signed, and here this guy does it. So everybody's up in arms. They're protesting. They're yelling at him when they take the picture. The cop gets put on modified duty. They're trying to fire him, all this stuff, right? Right, wrong, or indifferent. But here's the funny thing there. Why does that get front page media, right? But no one really talks about this. So the guy who was getting arrested, this was, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, been arrested two more times since then. Wow. Once for slashing someone's face, and once for a robbery. But you know, once the police do something to you, you're deemed innocent by that. It's a small but noisy group of people. But by that group, you know, I don't care what you did. You could be the son of Sam. If you're black and a white cop shoots you and you're unarmed, you are then an innocent person of anything else you've ever done. So again, I talk a lot about context. So the numbers here. As of right now when we speak, for this weekend so far, Chicago has 32 shot, 3 killed. For August, 116 shot, 17 killed. And year to date, 2,431 shot, 426 killed. By contrast, New York, I don't have weekend numbers yet, but in August, 54. You know, three times the size, more than three times the size.
Right.
50 some odd less, 62 less shootings. However, it is up 74% from last year. Year to date, New York is at 961. So 2431 with 2.5 million people, 961 right. with nearly 9 million people. So you say, obviously, yeah. Chicago's worse, but Chicago's not up 165% like New York is. But I, before you comment, get ready to comment. I got one more number for you to soak in.
Okay, go ahead.
So Chicago, year to date, 2,431 shootings, 426 deaths, murders. Police shootings, 8, 3 deaths.
Amazing. And you're right. You are right, Charles, to accentuate the population because it goes towards the percentage, right? And so where New York is far better on that than Chicago, I think this is a sign for us clearly that de Blasio should restart his presidential campaign.
He's got to find his pants first.
Yeah, he should run as a law and order president from New York. Wait, we already have that. So, that's an interesting statistic. And, you know, here's what I think, and I think our numbers are bad, right? And I think our numbers are consistent over the last, you know, let's say 4 to 5 years. And if you'll allow me 30 seconds to peel an onion here for you.
Go. I'm going to sit down and kick my feet up.
Chicago, in my opinion, if you look at the statistics, is built to manage between 4 and 5,000 shootings, between 400 to 600 murders, and anything beyond those numbers, because those numbers are concentrated to South and West sides. But anything beyond those numbers usually means that the killings and the shootings and that violent crime is spilling into other areas of Chicago where it then becomes a problem. Now, why do I say it's set up for that? Because that's consistently been the pace and the final yearly numbers that we've been on for the last, you know, so many years, which means our trauma system, our hospital system is set up for that. Our county court system is set up for that. Our judicial system is set up for that. Aramark Services that provides the, you know, orange jumpsuits and the slop meals in the prison system. All these, the infrastructure is set up for that. So crime as a business is booming and at a plateau in Chicago, right? And so I think when you look at all the interventions from the local police department and the local county law enforcement system, I think everything is allowed to be within those numbers, right? Because why is the clearance rate practically, what, zero? It's like 18%. Mm-hmm. Why are the murders never solved, right? I mean, it's cold cases all day over here. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at it that way, with that kind of analysis behind it, I think you'll come up to it, you know, with a few assumptions about, you know, how crime is a business, right?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true. But I like to give people
right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead. No. Yeah.
Oh, so I was just going to say, you know, I wanted to give people the assume positive intent. So I'm going to assume that is not something sinister, at least on a large scale. And I just think that people aren't solutions oriented. They chase the tail. They're not trying to fix the problem. Because to fix the problem, you got to address some real ugly truths.
Right. I think, you know, policy-wise, I think the problem is managed. It's not directed to be solved, right? And I think this spills into a lot of different areas of you know, policymaking in regards to a whole bunch of different things, you know, economic development, community development, you know, infrastructure.
Oh, we're running out of time. Forgot about that. You wanted to do a quick win because I got a question. So you had a win you wanted to talk about. 30
oh,
seconds?
Yeah, yeah. My feel-good story. Auburn Gresham, one of Chicago's emerging community areas, a historic neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, 79th and Halsted is the epicenter of it. Their development corporation, led by Carlos Nelson, had a great week. They got $10 million in the Pritzker Traubert Prize. They won that. They also have one of their milestone projects get $2 million from the state, and they also got $4 million 2 weeks ago from the CARES Act. And so we're going to see, I think, a ray of sunshine coming in the next year and a half in this community with new development, new jobs, new urban agriculture. I think we're on the way to really doing some good things. The mayor has done a good job on this.
Got to cut you off because we only got 30 seconds, and I got to ask you a question.
Thanks, Charles.
Are you
going to
wait? We're not done yet. I got a question. Are you going to stick with your choice? You got a couple days. You got one last chance to change your mind. Who's your VP choice?
It's Governor Whitmer.
You're sticking with it. You're sticking with it. You can come back and gloat next week if you're right. Listen to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
Come on, man.
Now, back to the Liberty Hour. Call Sean now at 312-642-5600.
Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. Charles Love here. Call Sean now. Call Sean now. And it looks like Ray did call Charles or Sean. Which one? Well, I guess we'll find out.
You're not losing yourself in Sean's personalities, are you?
Does he have multiple?
There's many, many, many.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm the nice one.
And yes, Sean, I know you're listening.
You think he's listening? We got a listener. Sean.
I have a sneaking suspicion he listens to his own show, even when he hosts.
That's not nice.
True.
Ray, welcome to the Liberty Hour.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
What you got for me?
I was reading the Sun-Times the other day, and they posted an article about this guy in Englewood. He was a gang leader. His nickname was Big Law. And Big Law was murdered, which caused a ripple effect in Englewood. But the crux of the story is that it was a conflict with the Mexican drug cartel. They had lost 85 guns and 10 kilos of cocaine and then, like, some uncounted number of kilos of drugs, right? And so when we talk about the issues going on here in Chicago, it starts with the security at the southern border, because right now we are being terrorized, literally.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
We were being literally terrorized by the Mexican drug cartel, and they were able to set up shop here because we are a sanctuary city. And I just don't think it's fair, because Americans don't get sanctuary against breaking federal laws. So why?
Especially not black folk.
We get prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We know that the law works here in America if they want it to. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that because we're a sanctuary city and the southern border is still going through its issues, it's affecting us here on the south and west side of Chicago.
Let me ask you this question. I totally believe that, but it's interesting. I have to ask, because it's just simply the way my mind works. So you read this article, and they said that Biggie Smalls got shot, and a whole cartel thing, and they gave specific numbers of guns and drugs that's missing. How did they know that?
Because there was an informant who was working from the gang who let them know, or let the FBI know, all of this stuff that was going down. So everyone knows that the Mexican drug cartel, multiple Mexican drug cartels operating right
without
now
a doubt.
In Chicago.
And somehow
and
none
that's
of them get arrested.
Terrorism. Yeah. Right, right. And that's terrorism. That's literally terrorism by its most original definition. We are being terrorized but no one is doing anything about it. No one is getting arrested, and when they do get arrested, they're automatically free because this is a sanctuary city. I say absolutely not. We can't afford this anymore. Kids are getting shot.
That's totally true. Thank you for your call. She makes a good point, and the thing about it, though, that I like to point out whenever I get a chance, and she so nicely queued it up for me, is we talk about a lot about unfairness and inequalities in the federal justice system, and not to say that there aren't any, and they need to be fixed. But the problem is what I think people want, truly, based on what they say, they want equality, but what they want is they want what I termed, everybody write it down, negative equality. You may be saying, what is negative equality? Well, what negative equality is, it would be like if Macbeth is being treated special because he's white.
May I take a stab at it real quick?
Go.
I like your shoes better than mine. Therefore, I wish your shoes were not as good, so therefore we had the same sort of shoes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why he's here. So they are, he's exactly right. So he's in my mind already. It's been 2 weeks. So what that is,
I'm living rent-free in your mind at this point.
And think about it, people. See, if you walk it through, it makes sense to you. What people will say is, you know, that guy has better food than me. He gets to eat lavish steaks and lobster every night while I'm eating canned tuna. Now, I would prefer to eat the steak and lobster, but I'm also happy if you just bring him down to canned tuna.
Yeah, there was some sort of cartoon I watched many, many years, and this will be intelligent and insightful, I'm sure. there was some sort of cartoon I watched many years ago, and there's this little kid who wanted to be the fastest kid in class, right? So he goes, I found a genie, and I rubbed the lamp, and the genie comes out of the lamp, and give me your three wishes. My first wish is I was the fastest kid in class. Every other kid in his class was in a wheelchair. Now, I don't know what kind of sick mind wrote this cartoon. I may just be inventing it in my head.
Maybe you, right.
But I'm pretty sure it's from the 80s. And but yeah, that was one of those moments of like, oh yeah, you really got to be careful what you wish for.
Nice.
And so if you're wishing for others to come back down, okay, maybe it makes you feel better, but who's hiring you?
I think with a few seconds we got here, this is my point. The reason I tie that to what she said is she talked about blacks will be prosecuted to the fullest in the law, and too many people who say, we're treated unfairly. They want to redo the system so fewer blacks do. Well, why does a white guy get less time than me? I want the black to get less time. No, you should want the black violent criminal to get a lot of time, and you should want the white violent criminal to get a lot of time, too. But you don't. You just say, well, give him less time because he gets less time.
You're making too much sense. You need to stop applying logic and comedy.
I will not do that next week, I promise. Well, oh, Marvin Gaye, love it. Well, coming up, I want to talk Corona and some of the side effects of how it's being handled. You're listening to The Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
You're listening to The Liberty Hour with Sean Thompson. Get on the line with Sean by calling 312-642-5600.
Welcome back to The Liberty Hour. Charles Love here, sitting in. So I said, coming back from the break, I would talk about Corona.
And Lori Lightfoot got upset.
She did.
She sprouted off on her own.
Stuff about cars turning around or something.
I mean, I have that here, but I didn't mean to play.
So stick with me because you may think I'm not really starting with Corona. But I don't know if you heard, but there was a shooting in D.C. When last I saw it, there were 21 people shot. One dead, an officer in critical condition. They say there were three gunmen, and it happened at a cookout. And I know we talked about crime. You know, if you pay attention to the news for the last 2.5 months, I talked about recently how 90% of the stories tie back to one of these three topics, right? Just different flavors of the different variations of the same thing. It's crime, COVID, and race. It's a protest. It's an uptick. It's a down. It's school because of COVID, whatever the case may be. So I mentioned this story because obviously it's a big story. That's a lot of people shot in one place. But it's at a cookout, and as I'm reading the article about the shooting, they said, you know, 21 people allowed to get shot at one shooting. What was it, a family cookout? I don't know what the cookout was for, but they said there were hundreds of people attending this cookout. And I say COVID because they're saying certain places are upticks and they're trying to push it back and they're asking people to stay in smaller groups and social distance. And the rhetoric, as I mentioned before, is those crazy right-wing Trump supporters who don't wear masks and don't social distance and they keep showing pictures, but the common sense won't allow me to believe that. Well, what do you mean? Texas and Florida are Republican, but California's not.
Well, but Houston's had crazy numbers, and they've had a lot of protests.
Yeah, Houston.
And their numbers just happen to be 20 and 30-somethings.
Right, and Houston, the city, is not red like the state.
No.
Right?
No, neither is Austin, neither is Dallas. These are the hot spots.
Right. And then in New York, you know, I'm watching the news, and it's all the police are trying to break up a block party. The police are sending 14 SWAT teams down the street to crash restaurants where people are sitting outside. All these people are out there without masks hanging out. I'm looking at a picture, a tweet from Lori Lightfoot. It's called a pandemic, people. This reckless behavior on Montrose Beach is what will cause us to shut down the parks and lakefront. Don't make us take steps back. That's probably where you kicked in about I'm going to turn the car
around. I won't just turn the car around. I'm going to shut it off. I'm going to kick you out, and I'm going to make you walk home.
Don't you sound like a dominatrix at that point?
But once you have to walk home, too, because you shut it off. Anyway.
Well, but see, that's the thing. She's going to restart it. Lori Lightfoot's not going to play all of her cards at once, right? She's not going to show you her entire hand.
Ah,
you just don't know.
Or
she'll get picked up by a CPD vehicle.
Well, so in this tweet, she's got a picture. It's at least 70 people in the picture.
Yeah.
None of them are wearing masks. They're all dry humping. I mean, they're all close to each other.
And let's keep it clean.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
They're close. So it's Chicago MAGA country. But here's an interesting twist, too.
I must say where Jussie Smollett got attacked.
So L.A. never got attacked. So L.A.
No, that was in Chicago MAGA country. That was a fact. That happened.
Not sure. Yeah. So California. I mean, California. I read that wrong. It's like Trump reading.
It's California.
It's like Trump reading Yosemite.
Yeah. Thailand. I've said Thailand before, to be fair, when you're reading.
But in California, they have this new rash of, I mean, people want to get out. So even though there was a mass shooting at a Halloween party and Airbnb banned these parties, so there's like a rash of parties. People are just renting houses and going all out. So last week, an NFL player, undisclosed NFL player, had a party, and there were four people shot. I think four people got shot, one killed. But just like the D.C. story, at the bottom of the story, it said there were people being dropped off in buses, busloads of people going to this party. So today, like D.C., there was an Airbnb in San Francisco, I believe it was, that had three people got shot at a party. That's the new rash. So L.A. shut down. They're cracking down on parties. There was a headline that said, the parties moved to the hills, and L.A. cracked down. So all they're doing is like, fine, you're going to crack down. We'll just go to some other place.
Send to the sheriff's department instead of the city PD.
Right. So the point is that people will be people. Human nature is human nature. And it's not right, white, black, left, whomever. It's whoever just decides, I'm tired of this, and I'm going out. So hopefully this isn't going to make it worse. I'm not hoping that the virus gets worse and it spreads. But you're never, because, you know, quickly I want to say, and I never defend Trump, I just don't understand. I would love for somebody to come and tell me. I read an article that said this would have been better if Trump would have managed it better. So I talked to a really smart friend of mine who's really middle of the road, and they were like, well, the federal government, you know, Trump just should have, I'm not a Trump fan, but I'm not knocking him. He should have done more. I said, well, what? If he came, the same people that don't want the federal government in Chicago and don't want them in Portland, where they're literally burning the police union building, no feds. But you wanted them to bring feds in the city to make people wear a mask?
Yeah, put armed guards on the runway to prevent planes from landing?
Yeah, what was he going to do?
I mean,
he would then be the fascist and dictator you're claiming that he is.
Speaking of fascist and dictator, can we also sort of stop to address the other facet of the lockdowns and all that, which is, the longer you keep people locked down, the more you impose on their lives, the more you subvert their freedom, the more they're going to rebel.
Proof is in the pudding.
Proof
That's
is with
these
my
stories
kids.
Stories about it. These people on buses going wherever they can go. The pandemic pods, the Airbnb parties, the cookout, the people on Montrose Beach. Stick with us. I got an interesting story to close us out. You're listening to the Liberty Hour on AM 560, The Answer.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land, the common clay. You know, morons.
This is the Liberty Hour. Here's your host, Sean Thompson, on AM 560, The Answer.
It's not correct, is it?
Well, you know, that man has a very powerful, believable voice. If he says Sean Thompson is here, then God darn that nabbit.
There's some authority to it, isn't
there? Welcome back to the Liberty Hour. I'm Sean Thompson.
No, you're not.
Well, that's what the guy said. I am Sean Thompson for the next 4 minutes. You know.
All right.
It's just, you know, it's kind of an interesting twist as we're building on this thing
the
here.
Prime so. Opportunity to ruin Sean's reputation and go.
So, I generally try to talk about the culture and macro things, but of course, I'm talking to you in Chicago from New York, trying to give you the flavor of what's going on in Chicago, which is why I bring people on to Chicago to talk about Chicago. But New York is crazy, and sometimes you got to talk about New York. So I just like your permission to leave you with a story about New York.
Permission granted.
The Liberty Hour. He's talking about freedom, right? Tell me if this fits. New York Post. New York Democrats push for law mandating 500 hours of training for shampoo assistants.
You big dummy.
What about daddy's records?
500 hours of training for shampoo
assistants. Well, look, the salon training is really 1,000 hours. They're only making you do 500. Come on. They're giving you
hours.
They give you, yes, to work in a salon, be a hairdresser in New York, 1,000 hours. They're going to give a certificate for a shampoo assistant, right? So
okay.
The legislation is sponsored by Kerry Warner of Saratoga Springs and John McDonald. And what they're saying is it's a gap in the legislation. Nobody's, you know, overseeing what they do. And keep in mind, the job primarily involves draping the client. Lathering of the head and rinsing, and odd jobs like sweeping hair off the floor.
What they've done is they've recognized a portion of somebody's life that they don't yet control.
Or
and
a way they can get some money.
Yes.
I need to give you all the information. You're almost there. Cosmetology school runs $13,000. The silence is so it can soak in. They want people. And it's a new law that they just introduced. So soak it all in. What they're saying is, not only does a shampoo assistant not make that much money, but in the time of COVID, when businesses were shut down for months, New York was one of the last areas to reopen. You were trying to make up all this lost income, but if you come back, I'm going to need you to take a certification.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to come down, and you need to come down to Albany and show me that you know how to sweep the floor and, what was it, drape the client?
Because
I don't even know what that is. I need training for client draping. How many of you out there drape the client? Don't act like it's easy.
I believe that means you take window treatments and hit them with them.
No, I think you can just do that online, blinds.com.
Oh, there you go.
Somebody pay me. That's advertisement. But this is madness.
We have nobody affiliated with it. Yeah. It's just crazy. And it also might be a way to sort of backhand keep places closed.
Right,
or
right.
Keep them down to reduced hours, reduced clientele.
Right. Fewer employees in there. Cause,
yeah.
Well, where's Barbara? I love that. Well, she can't come in because she's out
school for the next 9.5 months.
Learning how to sweep the floor and, wait, drape the client. And lathering. Do you lather left or right, up or down? You got to figure that out.
That could be a useful educational set for anybody who's never showered.
So this is the Liberty Hour, so I'm going to leave with, that's why I'm leaving you with a story about big government, because whenever the government is bigger, we all lose. This time, the loser is the shampoo assistant.
And anybody who has to pay for a haircut.
Well, yeah, because they got to raise the prices so they can pay them more, so she can take care of it. You know, maybe the big salons will cover it for them. But this is what they're focused on while we're dealing with crime, COVID, and race.
I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
2 hours go by fast. This has been great. Thank you for listening to the Liberty Hour. Follow me at CDouglasLove3 on Twitter. See you next week.
I have to go home.
The show is over.